Let's all bow before Yahweh. Father Yahweh, thank you for this Sabbath day and the ability for us to leave the world and focus on you and get away from work and rest, Father, and put our minds, our thoughts, everything on you. And we thank you for this day, Father, and we thank you for everything you've done for us. I ask that you be with me today, Father, that the words I speak are your words and not mine, and that you be glorified and not me. And I ask all this through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Hallelujah. Greetings, brothers and sisters. Today I would like to share with you my ideas on how to be a better servant for Almighty Yahweh. Some of the information I'm going to present to you can be applied in your everyday lives right now. Some of it might take a little longer. It's going to take a little more diligence and perseverance to apply these things to your life. It's kind of hard for me to give you a talk like this because I can attest that I'm not an expert in this subject. I'm still striving to be a better servant of Yahweh, and it might take some time before I can be what I feel as a true servant of the Father. The subject of serving Yahweh really is a broad subject, and a person could present volumes of information on this particular subject, but with that being said, I believe I could sum up the whole thing in one word, and that's selflessness. To be a complete servant of Yahweh, we need to completely show Him that He is the most important thing in our lives. He's the most important thing in our families, and He's the most important thing just on an everyday basis. We need to purge all our egos and our self-centeredness. Being human beings, we are always looking at ourselves in very vain ways. And I know I do all the time, and I'm constantly trying to remind myself not to do this. This will be a life struggle for you and for I, but the more we purge self out of our lives, the more room we are going to leave for Almighty Yahweh. Because I look at it as there's only so much room inside of us. And if we fill it with us, then there's no room for Him. Please turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Paul admonishes us to be as Yahshua, getting rid of our own selfishness and not to think of ourselves too highly. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Messiah, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Yahshua the Messiah, who being in the form of Elohim did not consider it robbery to be equal with Elohim. And the New Revised Standard reads verse 6 in this way, though he was in the form of Elohim, did not regard equality with Elohim as something to be exploited. My take on what Paul says here is Yahshua could have come and directed the attention towards himself. Being the son of Yahweh, he did have divinity. This would not have been robbery per se, but instead he humbled himself as a servant and pointed that worship to the very top, which is Almighty Yahweh. Being a living example, Yahshua shows us the meaning to be humble. His whole ministry on this earth was humbleness. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the tree. Therefore Elohim also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Yahshua every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Yahshua the Messiah is Master, to the glory of Yahweh the Father. An ancient French proverb goes something like this. Sometime when you feel that your going would leave an unfillable hole, just follow this simple instruction and see how it humbles your soul. Take a bucket, fill it with water, put your hand in it up to the wrist. Pull it out, and the hole that's remaining is a measure of how you'll be missed. You may splash all you please when you enter. You can stir up the water galore. But stop and you'll find in a minute that it looks quite the same as before. Brethren, when we leave this world, our friends and our family will remember us. But as time goes on, you might just be a picture in a cardboard box, maybe of your great-granddaughter. Or you might just be a tombstone on a hill somewhere. We are here for one thing, to serve Almighty Yahweh. And by being a good servant, we will be rewarded by eternal life. Our life really needs to be a living example. This world is temporary, and we need to live our lives really understanding the fact. Think of our lives as a test in school. You study for the test as we study the Word of Yahweh. You mark the correct answers as we choose every day what is right and what is wrong. And you follow the teacher's instruction as we follow the Word of Yahweh. And you do what it says. When the test is over, your grade is recorded. And at this point, this grade is simply pass or fail. We need to live our lives passing this test. Don't be like the unruly child in the back throwing spit wads like I remember in high school and disrupting the class, but be diligent and pass so we can graduate to a higher level. And that really is our goal. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12, if you would. We're going to pick it up in verse 48. You know, Yahweh has shown all of us mercy, if you think about it, or we'd all be dead. Yahshua paid a horrible price for you and me, just thinking about the imagery of what Yahshua had to go through. And because of that price, all people can be grafted into the promise, and we can all become spiritual Israelites. But remember, when much is given, much is to be received. Luke says, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." We have been called out of a world of billions of people. If you really just think about that, let that sit in your brain. Billions of people. That is amazing. We have won the spiritual lottery, to put it in layman's terms. To cash in, we need to prove ourselves. We need to prove ourselves every day. We need to show our Father that we are going to be a complete servant of Him. Remember that war picture of Uncle Sam under the auspices of the U.S. Army saying, "We want you"? That picture right there? Well, Yahweh wants you. Notice what the Apostle Paul says in chapter 11, 28 of Romans about the irrevocability of our gifts and our calling. Our calling is a serious thing, and we need to treat it as such. 28, "Concerning the evangel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of Elohim are irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to Elohim, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For Elohim has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all." Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of Elohim! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out! For who has known the mind of Yahweh? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So once we are called to be servants of him, we cannot look back, Paul says. Romans 12:1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to Elohim, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim." This ministry is set up not for personal gain, but to be a servant to the people. Everyone here at this ministry lives a servant's life for Yahweh. We publish the word, we use the media the best way we can with the funds that we have, and we try to serve people. We try to help those people that are in need. Every week we have work nights here and the brethren get together, eat a little pizza, do ministry work. Nobody gets paid. We just simply pull together to further the work of Yahweh. And isn't that what this is all about, furthering the work of Almighty Yahweh? So for all of you sitting at home possibly watching this on CD or DVD or online broadcast and wonder what you can do, let me give you some ideas. Get baptized. Devote your life to the Savior and to Yahweh. Pass out booklets and witness to people. There is a brother who we have never met that resides, I think, in Nashville, Tennessee, and he requests literature and booklets like on a monthly basis. I think it's possibly in the hundreds, isn't it? This man is doing the work in his area. This man is building treasures in the kingdom. So what are you doing? If you're interested in this, just give us a call and we can get you set up doing the same thing. Another thing you can do, of course, is support the ministry with tithes and offerings. This is also an important part because without these, we would no longer function. Without these, we couldn't buy paper or print booklets. We couldn't pay the electric bill. We couldn't buy CDs and DVDs. We couldn't purchase equipment for future broadcasting like we'd like to do. We simply would just not function. The more you give, the more we can do. If Yahweh has given you special gifts, we encourage you to use those gifts for His glory. Remember the story of the talents in Matthew 25? I'd ask all of you to turn there with me if you would. You know the old adage, a mind is a terrible thing to waste? Well, you could say the same thing about a talent. A talent is a terrible thing to waste. Start verse 14, for it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I know that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what is mine with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for the worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And notice verse 29, for to all those who have more, more will be given. What does that mean? I actually believe that if you use your talents for Almighty Yahweh and you need more talents to further the work, I believe Yahweh will give you those talents. I know that firsthand from asking Him. And that's my own personal experience. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, verse 31, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Master, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you, a stranger, and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you have done it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared from the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer, "Master, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Brothers and sisters, it is essential that we use our talents to further the ministry of Yahshua. He is coming back soon, and if he finds us just sitting around the home with business as usual, he will separate us from those doing the work. He will separate the people using their talents, the people really serving him, from the ones that are just paying a little lip service, maybe. Matthew 25:1, if you would. I'm going to go back to the start of that chapter. And this is the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, and this speaks of Yahshua's return and the state you should be in when he does arrive. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go you out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but you go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, 'Master, Master, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods.'" And, you know, the context of that is we don't know when Yahweh comes, because if we did know, I should say when Yahshua comes back for Yahweh, if we did know, we'd be lackadaisical. We'd just postpone it till the end. You know, these people that think that they don't have to get baptized, maybe they'll put it off because they don't want to tally up too many sins. They'll put it off till the end. This is what this is referring to. You can't do that. And you can't tell me Yahweh doesn't know a loophole when he sees it. If you're ready and you're ready to make a commitment, I believe you will be judged on that. It is essential that we use our talents for Yahshua. He is coming back. And if he finds us sitting around as business as usual, we're going to pay. That's true. This ministry is set up so brothers and sisters can work together with all of us with our various talents, so collectively we can do a great work that individually we could never accomplish by ourselves. Remember the scripture that says, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together"? It's all part of that. There are many Bible-believing people today who live their lives as good or even better than we do. And that's the truth of it. just because we are blessed to come out of the world. As human beings, we're no better than the guy next door. We still have the same pulls, the same tendencies. In fact, I believe when we are given more truth, Satan's going to attack us even more. So we need to put up more of a guard. Too much is given, much is required. During World War II, an event occurred to show the ultimate in sacrifice. It was never better illustrated than by the sacrifice of four chaplains on the Dorchester, a U.S. transport ship sailing off the coast of Greenland. A casualty of war, the ship was torpedoed and began to sink. There were not enough life belts for all the soldiers, so the four chaplains took off their life preservers and handed them to four unequipped soldiers. Minutes later, the survivors saw the chaplains going down into the icy waters with the ship, their arms linked and their voices raised in prayer. They sacrificed their life for their fellow neighbors. We need to have the same spirit. Knowledge does not necessarily make you a better servant of Yahweh, does it? Because you understand the feast days. It doesn't make you any better than the people out there who have never come to this knowledge of the truth. It just means you owe Yahweh more. Notice John chapter 15, verse 12. You don't have to turn there, though, but I'll read this. It's short. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Yahshua knew that he was going to die, and he was giving a prophecy there. You got to lay down your life for your friends to show complete love. You are my friends if you do what I command, he says. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. Even though we serve Yahshua, we are treated like friends to him because we have accepted his plan and we are working towards furthering that plan. So how can we become living sacrifices of Almighty Yahweh and not be transformed to this world? I would have to say the most important thing is not to be afraid of outwardly expressing our faith to the world. Next time you go to a restaurant, notice how many people pray before they eat. Just look around. Probably not too many, right? You know, every time I go out to eat with Brother Ken and Michelle, they are always very forthcoming with their prayers, and they really don't care what people think. They join hands, they pray out loud, and that's the way it should be. Who cares what the other people think in the restaurant? They're not going to be the ones judging us. Almighty Yahweh is the one judging us. So if we pray, you know, extravagant prayers at home and we go to a restaurant and we might just kind of peep out a little one, you know, is that really right? I don't know. That's just my own thought on that. You know, the Bible says we're supposed to be as little children in Matthew 18:3. Can we turn there real quick and we'll go ahead and read that? And said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? I'll tell you what I believe it means. You know, my son will, right in the middle of a grocery store or wherever, ask people about Yahweh. He's not afraid to witness to Yahweh. He's not afraid of bringing the subject up at all. In fact, he's actually horrified if people keep Halloween, Christmas, things like that. But you know, his mind has not been polluted. He doesn't care what people think. And that's what Yahshua is telling us. We need to be as little children. We need to not care what people think. Because the only person, not really a person, I should say, a being that we should care about is the Father in heaven. How about when you're at work and somebody makes a negative crack about religion or a creator? Let's say your friend says something repulsive. Are you just going to stand there and just listen to it? Because if you stand there and you listen to that, you're part of that conversation. And you are giving your approval to that conversation if you don't say anything. The best way to handle the situation is to express your disdain on the subject and to walk away and not be part of the conversation. Believe me, that will speak volumes for you and what you believe, and I can assure you the conversation will change rather quickly. K. Keeping the Sabbath and feast days are also very important because not only are you obeying Yahweh by doing what he clearly says, you are also being an example to those at work or school. You are showing the world that you will follow the commands of your Creator, even if it means really making a sacrifice, and that's what this whole thing is about. That's why we're here. We hear from far too many people that write to the ministry expressing their desire to follow Yahweh, but just can't get the fortitude to say, I'm going to keep the feast days no matter if it costs me my job or my family. You see, this is the sacrifice Yahweh wants. This is the trial by fire that really proves you. It proves your character. It proves who you are. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 7. Verse 14. Notice how keeping the feast is part of being a servant. So Yahweh said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him, and the rod which was turned to a serpent you shall take in your hand, and you shall say to him, Yahweh Elohim of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. We know that they were going to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And this was part of servitude to Almighty Yahweh. The feasts are the pinnacle of servitude. Yahweh says to keep them, so if you serve him in those ways, you're going to be persecuted at different levels. And that at that point will refine you. This is not an easy walk, and you're going to meet opposition. I can tell you that right now. Let's go to Matthew 10 and start there at verse 32. Joshua lays this out in very simple terms. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And all too many times we hear of people keeping the feast and causing family confusion, causing spousal confusion, possibly even marital problems. But we have to do what Yahweh says. That is the most important thing. Verse 38, and anyone who does not take his burden and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Turn back with me to John 15, please. Notice how the world will hate the followers of the Messiah. And we are certainly looked down upon by today's world, especially by the Bible believers today, for us merely obeying Yahweh and following what he says. Countless books and sermons are written to mark us as a cult or us as legalists, all for showing our servitude towards our Maker and obeying the Word. But with all these books written against us, it all makes no difference because we will not stop obeying Yahweh. We will not stop teaching His Word. In fact, it'll probably light a little fire under us, make us work a little harder. But if these books and sermons make those who do not obey Yahweh quench their own conscience, then they can explain that to Yahweh, because they certainly don't need to explain it to you, and they certainly don't need to explain it to me. John 15, 18, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they would obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. How prophetic. In this modern age, the true names of Yahweh and Yahshua are rarely used. People really do not know who they worship. And a lot of people are worshiping Yahweh, doing the best they can, but they've just never understood who they worship. And that's not their fault. A lot of these people that die like this, I believe, well, Yahweh's going to teach them. They're going to have their chance, but he's just not calling those people at this point. It's not necessarily their fault. But there is a lot of teachers out there in churchianity, quote, that know the truth, and they throw up a smoke screen to people out there, and that's what's wrong, and they will answer for that. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. A very strong statement for the people that deny Yahshua. And if I had not gone among them, what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. Let's go back to Romans chapter 12 and pick it up in verse 3. Paul lays out how to be a disciple and a servant of Yahshua, and how not only to serve Yahweh, but your brethren as well. Verse 3, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith Elohim has given you, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Messiah, we are who are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." That's interesting that he says that. We all belong to each other when we go through those waters of baptism. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. Brother Mike Bannock is very good about that. Everybody loves to see Brother Mike, because when he walks through those doors, all he is a big ball of encouragement. And it makes everybody feel good, and we have to have those people, or we just give up. If it is in contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving Yahweh, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with Elohim's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. That's important. We are a living witness, and we need to consistently evaluate ourselves, especially when we're in the world, because people look at us. And our beliefs are reflected on us and how we act. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for Yahweh's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says Yahweh. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. To be a proper servant of Yahweh, we need to know how to communicate with him, don't we? We can see from Scripture that Yahweh always sent messengers to relay messages from him to certain individuals, giving orders on what they are to do, if it was to fight a battle or to go witness to people like with Jonah. So despite what the TV preachers say, Yahweh is not going to have direct communication with you. And in his holy state, we of course know that we would melt if we were in the presence of Yahweh. It would be like 1,000 atom bombs going off at once. You'd just be a little pile of powder, salty powder, when those things go off. The heat would incinerate you. Not to get too off the subject, I would like to talk briefly about the atom, since I mentioned the atom bomb. I believe that the atom, an atom, which is the smallest particle that compromises a chemical element, is the building block of our physical realm. It is in itself spirit energy, and this is why we cannot see atoms today. We can split an atom like an atom bomb, and when split, the energy inside is released, creating a nuclear explosion. And this is the smallest particle known to man. And we can split that smallest particle and create a nuclear explosion. You tell me what that is. If this is just, we've just evolved and energy just came from nowhere, how can we get that kind of energy out of something so small? The reverse is also true when you combine atomic particles. There you go. When the atom bomb was released over Nagasaki, Japan in 1945, the mushroom cloud rose some 11 miles above the hypocenter of the explosion. Enormous amount of power. And that was a result of one atom. I find molecular science very interesting because we are dealing with the genius of Yahweh. Notice what Paul wrote in Hebrews 11:3, and I really urge you to turn there. This is, make a note, just another proof of the inspiration of the Bible, in my opinion. How would Paul know this? By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of Elohim, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. How did Paul know that? We don't fully understand atoms today. In fact, we can't see them. The question was asked a science page on the internet, can we see an atom? Here's what they said. The answer is yes and no. The reason for no is that it is actually impossible for anybody to see an individual atom, since all atoms are thousands of times smaller than the smallest light waves we can see using our eyes. The reason for yes is that even though they cannot be seen directly with our eyes, there is so much evidence for atoms and we know so much about them that it is impossible to say they do not exist. Hebrews 11:3 again. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of Elohim, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. I can tell you one thing. The Apostle Paul did not have access to electron microscopes. So back to the subject. Yahshua is our intermediary, and through his blood we can reach Yahweh. So yes, prayer is communication, but not direct communication with Yahweh. The importance of prayer to Yahweh really shows him our commitment to him and our desire to obey him, and it also shows our faith in him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, to pray without ceasing. The context doesn't mean that you should always pray 24/7, but to never take a vacation from prayer. Always let prayer become a part of your life. Don't have a prayer void, so to speak. The question also often comes up that Yahweh is not answering my prayer, and what should I do? We know that not all prayer is answered by Yahweh, and we're just not going to have anything to do with that. No matter what we do, Yahweh's not going to answer it. There's just certain prayers he's not going to answer, probably for our own good. He knows the future. He knows what's going to happen. So obviously he won't answer it because he doesn't want to manipulate that. But in my own personal experience, I can tell you that prayer along with fasting definitely works, and it definitely yields results. When you fast, what you're really telling Yahweh is that you are serious about what you're praying about, and that you're going to go without food, and we obviously know that without food we die. So It really shows Yahweh where we stand on the prayer. This goes back to the self-sacrifice we're talking about earlier. If that does not work, I don't think there's anything wrong with, I've heard someone say, ganging up on Yahweh in prayer, especially if fasting's involved. Nothing wrong with that. Yahweh will take everything into account. You know, Yahweh's not a machine. He doesn't just compute ones and zeros and just say yes, no, just because of a certain thing. Yahweh, I don't want to use the term manipulated, but Yahweh can be swayed. I mean, he is just like us. And you can find several instances in the Bible where he has changed his mind. So there's nothing wrong with ganging up on Yahweh. Scripture indicates that Yahweh hears the prayers of the righteous. So you will have to judge in your own mind if you are a member of Yahweh's righteous. Notice that Proverbs 15 says in verse 28, and just an interesting side note, the Hebrew title of the book of Proverbs is Mishle Shlomo, and it means Proverbs of Solomon. Some people say that they're not completely sure if Solomon actually wrote the whole book of Proverbs, even though his name is there in the first chapter. Verse 28, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Yahweh is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. That's an important key. If he's going to hear your prayer, you need to be righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who hates rebuke gets understanding. The fear of Yahweh is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. I like that there, what Solomon said. The fear of Yahweh is the instruction of wisdom. So if you don't fear Yahweh, you're not wise. So becoming righteous before Yahweh is essential if we want our prayers answered. We understand that. The word righteous here in Proverbs is number 6662. The Hebrew word is pronounced tzaddik and means just or lawful. To become righteous, you must be gauged by some sort of law. The opposite would be unrighteousness or lawlessness. And that law is the law of Yahweh. The law, many think, has been done away. You cannot be righteous without the law. And if Yahweh answers the prayers of the righteous, then you must be doing what he says. Now, obviously, those that are ignorant and don't understand these things, Yahweh does judge the accountability for that, and he understands that. But for those that understand the word of Yahweh, he will judge you, and your prayers aren't going to mean a whole lot if you're not doing what he says. Yahweh is calling a people out of this world that are going to be faithful followers of him, a people not afraid to express their faith, a people not afraid to stand up for him, a people who overcome trials and tribulations, a people who have a desire to serve him, not by lip service, but by servitude through obedience. When Yahshua returns, will he find us as faithful servants or people of unrighteousness? Only you, brothers and sisters, can decide that. May Yahweh show us all his mercy.
Well, believe it or not, sometimes when we get off track, Yahweh has to rebuke us. And for some of us, I know that message has to be a rebuke. And we all need it. And we heard the words from Proverbs. I'd like to read a scripture real quick. For those of us, you know, we know when the Roman soldiers came to get Yahshua, we know that the Romans broke up the time slots. I believe it was 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6. And so in Luke chapter 12, verse 37, it said, "Blessed are those whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants." So at one time or another, Yahweh is going to send Yahshua. And, you know, the question is, do we have that faith? But are we watching too? That's what we're looking for. We're looking for Yahshua. So in a sense, that's what we're doing. We're watching. We're keeping those days when he meets with us specifically. And, you know, that's what he told us to do. So let's all rise, and we'll offer up a closing prayer to Yahweh and give him thanks for his word and the bread that we'll receive. Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we thank you once again. Another blessed Sabbath day you've given us. You've instructed us out of your word. We pray, Father Yahweh, that we always, always take heed to your word. Always thank you for those rebukes, those corrections that you make in our lives. Father, we make many mistakes and we pray that you overlook our rebellion. We pray for your mercy every day, and we rejoice, and we also share in the testimonies when we speak to others how you deliver us from evil. We just pray, Father Yahweh, that we continually humble ourselves and come to you as little children and continue to learn and even learn from the children, from the way they are. We thank you, and we thank you for the Sabbath day, for the message. We pray for those all around the world, those that don't know your truth. Pray that they continue to seek and search, and that you use us in the different ways, those talents that you've given us, the measure of faith that you've given us, that we can share it with others, and that they may look at the way we walk and say, those are Yahweh's people. So we pray, Father Yahweh, and we give you thanks for the message and the bread that we'll eat, the fellowship, the talents you've given us, and pray that the service be a blessing to you. In the name of Yahshua Messiah, we ask you and we thank you for these things. Amen. Hallelujah.